first century in the Roman Empire, most of the food, most of the meat in particular that you could buy, had been sacrificed to some idol. You see, all the various pagan temples around town, they would perform their morning sacrifices of a cow, a pig, or whatever it might be, and then they would take that meat and they would sell it in the marketplace. And it's how they raised funds to operate temples. And so much of the meat that you would buy in the market, or you might even go directly to the temple and buy it, had actually been sacrificed to some idol. And you often didn't have any way of knowing for sure whether this meat you were eating had been sacrificed to some idol. Now today, that wouldn't be very serious for us. But if you grew up in a world of idols, if you grew up thinking that the way to deal with your sickness was to go to some particular pagan temple and pay for some sacrifice to be performed on your behalf, and you grew up seeing a reality in these pagan sacrifices and in these idols, it can become a very serious issue. And Paul recognizes that. Becoming a Christian didn't necessarily end that deep-rooted sense of conscience about it. And so Paul's response was, look, the idols aren't real. There's no real God there. You don't have to worry that you're being defiled. You're no better off if you eat the meat, and you're no worse off if you don't eat the meat. It doesn't matter. But, he said, I will never use my freedom if it will harm a brother or sister. And so if there is another who is troubled by that, whose conscience is troubled, who feels that they are being defiled by that, then, in fact, they are defiled. And I will not, Paul said, I will not endanger a brother or sister by eating meat if that's going to trouble them. I would rather never eat meat. And that's the critical principle, you see. Paul was not interested in forcing his own freedoms on everybody else. He was interested in behaving, speaking, choosing in a way that built up those who were around him, that loved them, that cared for them. Not just doing whatever it was that his freedom allowed us to do. We love our freedom so much here in America, and sometimes we lose sight of the fact that as Christians, we need to rein that in. As Christians, it is not enough to say, am I free to do this? We have to go further than that. Are these words that I might say, are these actions that I might take, are they going to build up? Are they going to encourage? Are they going to express the love of Christ for my brothers and sisters around me? Or are they going to tear down and harm and weaken? There are several good parallels today. I'm just going to use a couple of examples. And one of them comes directly from that area of free speech. You may remember a few years ago, I thought this illustrated this issue very well. There was a terrorist bombing of the editorial offices of a magazine called Charlie Hebdo. It was a French satirical magazine. And there was a terrorist bombing of their editorial offices. Several people were killed, and the offices were destroyed. And Pope Francis was speaking about that soon afterwards. He condemned the terrorist attack, but then he went on to say that Charlie Hebdo should not be mocking other people's religions. And there was a great furor because, oh, he's taking away their free speech. He's giving in to the terrorists. Now, they misunderstood what he was saying. The Pope's point is, it is not enough for us as a believing community to simply exercise our freedom and, you know, speak what's on our hearts. Rather, we have to stop and consider, is what I'm going to say something that will build up, that will encourage, that will express the love to do by that set of standards. You see, it is not enough for us just to possess a certain freedom. We need to think further about how we use the words that God gives us the opportunity to use. What are they going to do? What will they mean? And so while we may have a matter of civil law and strong protections on free speech. By the way, you all know that free speech isn't absolute, right? There are lots of forms of speech that we ban as a society. Child pornography, taking care of some threats, flying over to a government, flying a commission of felony, on and on. There are all sorts of things that we ban. But our bias is for freedom of speech. And as a matter of the civil government, I want to know. But it's a matter of us as the believing community, as the followers of Jesus. We have to operate by a different standard. We're told that from all vital tongue, because the tongue is a spark that can set a whole forest ablaze. And we know that. We've seen it far too often. It's not enough just to express myself. I know that's a popular notion nowadays. But if what you want to express is going to mock and weaken and tear down, keep it to yourself. If you have something to express that speaks of love, building up the love of God for us, encouraging one another, then yes, by all means. That is our standard. Now, I also want to apply this to another area that's very hot right now. I actually wrote about it in the January newsletter. And that is the whole area of sexual harassment and assault. And our choice is what we say and do in the midst of these kinds of conversations. Now, obviously, it goes without saying that Christians should never abuse a position of power or authority in order to achieve any kind of personal gain or pleasure. That should go without saying. But that is evil and sinful. But the standard for us as Christians goes way beyond that. Did you notice a couple of weeks ago at the Golden Globes, a lot of women wore black as an expression of solidarity with the Time's Up movement? And did you notice that a lot of them still have slits down the ear, slits up the ear? Now, I don't believe in blaming the victim. I don't. I mean that in all seriousness. And I do not want to put women in burqas or baggy sweatshirts or something like that. That is not what I'm calling for. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if men were men, mark this, guys, if men were men, women could walk down the street butt naked without a catcall, without a whistle, without a moment's fear. If men were men. Unfortunately, a lot of us are not. But nonetheless, I would encourage women to stop and think about how choices that you make about how you dress and appear and present yourself affect those who are around you. You know what? You can be lovely and attractive, look very nice, without being deliberately sexual. It is not necessary to work to incite those kinds of feelings and responses in others. We can show some care. And it's a way of being loving and supporting of others. Now again, I'm not blaming the women at all. But let's remember that we're all part of a system here. And we all contribute to a mentality, to a way of looking at relationships. And guys, how about how we talk about it? How about those dirty jokes? How about comments on women's appearance? You stop and think about the fact that that creates an environment of objectification, of dehumanizing others. Frankly, as Christian men, we have no business participating in those sorts of things, participating in that whole culture of dirty jokes, of making jokes about women's appearance, and this and that kind of thing. Not because, again, it's not that I'm denying our freedom. It's that I'm asking us to evaluate what we do and say by that standard. Does it help? Does it encourage? Does it express the love of Christ? Does it create, does it work to create a culture in which people are valued and loved and cared for simply as children of God? Not based on their appearance, not based on their wealth and affluence, not based on anything else, but on that simple fact of being beloved children of God. So I would suggest to you that in Paul talking about food sacrifice to idols, what he's really reminding us of is that our obligation is not first and foremost to our freedoms and doing what we feel like. Our obligation is first and foremost, how can I comport my life? How can I shape what I say and do in a way that builds up, in a way that encourages, in a way that lifts up the value and dignity and the love